Hey, welcome in. Arkansas is going to Kansas for the NCAA regional. That's not necessarily what we expected to see this week, but certainly that's what we're going to get. The Razorbacks are going to play Missouri State on Friday at 5 o'clock at Hoagland Ballpark, not Hogland, Bubba, although I guess they could, like, if they take it over, they could maybe rename it Hogland this weekend. But Hoagland Ballpark, seats 2,500. They're going to bring in about 1,500 portable seats, try to get the capacity up a little bit. Have you ever been up there?
Yeah, I played a couple showcase events years ago, but I think they've changed the stadium since then. So it was big. When I was there before, it was a big stadium.
Yeah, it's only 2,500 seats. So
no, I mean like big for hitters.
You're talking about dimension-wise.
Yeah. No, the stadium was tiny.
Yeah, it sits down there in the – I've been to – I remember seeing it. Do you remember the year that the interstate flooded when we had to go up to Omaha for the College World Series?
Yeah.
So you had two different routes you could go, and I picked the wrong route on the way up there. I went through Iowa, and I mean like went way out of my way, out in the middle of nowhere, and came back around to get to Omaha. And so I had heard from people once we were in Omaha, hey, you know, we came up 75 through Kansas, and that was a pretty, you know, it was a pretty good drive. So let's do that. And we came back down, and Lawrence is maybe 10, 15 minutes off of that highway. And I'd always wanted to see Allen Fieldhouse. And so we went over there, saw Allen Fieldhouse, and then the baseball stadium kind of sits down in this little hill underneath Allen Fieldhouse. And I remember seeing it at the time. I was like, man, that stadium is really small. Mm-hmm. And here we go. It's going to be a very interesting week.
Kind of has a feel of like old George Cole back in the day.
You know what my wife said when she saw it? She said it reminds her of when Arkansas went to Ali P. Reynolds for the Oklahoma State Regional in 2015. It's kind of got that. I guess they were built similar time frame in the 1980s. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. I got some thoughts on that. First, I want to tell everybody that we are brought to you today by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a third-generation family-owned business serving Northwest Arkansas since 1976. Just like great baseball programs, H&R is built on consistency, trust, and doing things the right way. No shortcuts and no gimmicks at H&R Tire and Auto. Also brought to you by Eglin's Best. When it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eglin's Best delivers more the nutrition you need, but six times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit eglinsbest.com for more information. Also brought to you by Southern Loft. They're making room for new inventory with their Furniture Market clearance event. That's happening through May 29th. If you've had your eye on new furniture for your home, now's the time to shop and save on stylish pieces of furniture for every room, from comfortable living room furniture to statement dining pieces and more. Southern Loft has options to fit your style and your space. Visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville, or give them a call at 479-856-6100 before the sale ends on May 29th. You can find our podcast on Apple and Spotify. Just search Whole Hog Sports. Put our video on our YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter pages. You can search Whole Hog Sports there too. I got in the email from Kansas for credentials. It said your seat will be located in the bleachers. So it's a small press box. And I've said this about Kansas, and this isn't to disparage Kansas, but they've never hosted a regional. And they've got a small ballpark. Hopefully for their sake, having a good team last year and this year, and Dan Fitzgerald looks like he's, you know, building something there, it can cause them to go in and renovate their ballpark and maybe bring it more in line with, you know, some of the teams that they're trying to compete against. Like Oklahoma State in the Big 12, that's one of the nicest ballparks in America. You know, but we're in a day and age where it seems like facilities and amenities and things like that are getting pushed to the side and the back seat because of the money that has to go to the players and the coaches and everybody else. This is stuff people won't see, but we'll see it because we'll be behind the scenes. Players and coaches will see it too. I'm very interested to see how this goes this weekend because you've got a school that has not hosted a regional before, and it feels like they're in a ballpark that's not really set up to host a regional. There's a lot of stuff from, extra spaces where players have to hang out while other games are going on, to the, you know, the all the media services that have to happen because you're accommodating television and multiple radio broadcasts, and certainly there's going to be a lot of reporters there too, press conference setups have to be there. You have to have media workrooms for photographers. It's just stuff that, you know, like your run-of-the-mill KU, say, versus Kansas State home baseball game, you're just not dealing with. I do know that they reached out to somebody over here at the U of A who previously had worked at KU, who's worked in the, you know, the baseball management side about 6-7 weeks ago, and you know, kind of they were planning for this. They were trying to get ahead of it. You know, like, hey, what do we need to know? Right. I'm very interested to see how that goes because, you know, again, it's stuff that you're not going to see on TV. You're not going to see it on the ESPN Plus broadcast. But it's little stuff that can really affect the teams that are playing in this regional. And I feel like it's going to be a real learning experience for KU.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm glad they're getting outside advice because, I mean, if you don't know how to run a postseason event, it could turn into a clown show. I mean, it just makes it hard on the players. I know from the broadcaster side, Phil already told me the press box is tiny. Mm-hmm. There's only two press boxes.
Are you going to be out in the seats?
No, I think there's room for me and
Chuck
Phil
Barrett
in the
did
booth.
A game. I remember, and he may have done more than this. I'm sure Chuck's got some great stories. But I remember we were over in ORU one year in Tulsa at ORU. And he is set up on a folding table, and Chuck is sitting on like one level of bleachers, and the folding table is straddling like the next level of bleachers. And I think maybe even they had to have something come in and level it because otherwise the table would have kind of, you know, been like off-center. Yeah. And that's where he had to call the game from. And I don't know if there's going to be radio people doing that this weekend, but it's not like Hoover, you know, like in Hoover, by the way, you like my Hoover hat?
I'm
representing
like
the city of Hoover, after I had a great time down there for the last week. But, you know, they've got multiple radio booths where, you know, Florida and Georgia can be going on while you and Phil and the, you know, the Auburn radio crew, they can set up in their own booth and get ready. It's just, it's going to be different this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be different. You know, I'm not worried about us. I'm more worried about the team. And like when they get to the field, like,
where do they get to hang out?
Yeah. Because when we get there, there's going to be a game going on. Where do they get to go? Like,
what
is there
happens
a place?
If there's a rain delay?
Oh my gosh!
You know what I mean? But those are the questions. Like, and this kind of stuff will happen here in Fayetteville. And just to give people kind of a peek behind the curtain at what happens in Fayetteville, is when that happens here, you'll see teams go hang out in the indoor track facility. Like, there's some areas where they can go. In fact, I've seen so many times where players will go nap on the pole vault pit.
Yeah.
You know, you get that big old cushion that the pole vaulters land on. You get 10 people on there easily napping. And so, you know, it's these are the little things. And none of this, like I said, is disparage Kansas. And we've probably gone way too far inside baseball here for most people who like to listen to us. But that is a thought that I had with KU hosting it this week. I was watching a show on ESPN last night with Mike Rooney and Chris Burke and Kyle Peterson. They were up in Bristol. And I forget who it was, but I think it might have been Mike Rooney who said this. He said that he thinks it's really hard for a team that's hosting its first regional to advance past that first regional just because it's so new to them. And like, it almost feels like there's so much pressure on them to show well whenever they're hosting a regional for the first time. I think that's a very interesting thought as it pertains to Kansas this week.
Yeah, I think it depends on the makeup of your team. Like, we have a team that – I don't think it would have fazed us to host or go on the road. I think we're fine either way. Last year's team played great at home, you know, so didn't faze us. I think it just depends on the makeup of your team, the kind of the guys you bring in. Are they good in that setting, or do they kind of tense up a little bit? Because there is going to be some pressure on them. They're picked to win it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see that. But I think it's going to be more – I mean, they're at home. They've got their home setting there. So, you know, I think it's going to be easier for them than the other three teams going in and really like going back to the space. Like, where can they hang out? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be able to get enough swings in before the game? I don't know anything about the facilities. You know, that's the things. I think of those things. Mm-hmm. Because you got to have somewhere to go and hit, you know, before the game. A lot of things like that. Like when it comes to the radio booth and stuff like that, there's only two booths. So, you know, that team's, when you look at our, we got the longest post game show in the history of baseball. Our post game show goes on forever. I mean, we're the last dudes in the ballpark except for you.
Except
You're
for
still
me.
There. Yeah.
I outlast the janitors.
So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm not worried about that. I mean, because this is about the players on the field, and I just want to make sure that we have everything we need to get ready for a game and play a baseball game. And I'm sure they'll make it work. Mm-hmm. Now we can talk about why we're even in Lawrence to begin with.
If you want to
talk about that, but
let's do that. Because I think more people are interested in that right now in the here and now than they are about even who they're playing, because it's still so fresh that Arkansas got left out of hosting a regional. I got on the teleconference yesterday with Michael Alford, who is the chair of the NCAA Division I Baseball Committee. And I didn't think he gave very convincing answers as to why Arkansas was not included as one of the hosts. I asked him two questions. I'm trying to find the answers here. Asked him two questions, though, that pertain to Arkansas. The first one, I said Arkansas had 20 SEC aggregate SEC wins. I said, when you take the tournament into consideration, the other two who had 20 or more SEC wins are both top eight national seeds. And I said, you know, when you've got that, you've got the second most quad one wins, what was the justification for them not getting a home regional? And it felt like a lot of double talk, to be honest with you. At first, it was like, well, you know, a lot of people are saying we compared them with Mississippi State. And then he started talking about how Arkansas compares with Mississippi State. Then he kind of doubles back and says, you know, but then there was also KU and West Virginia. And he said, we valued championships, which I get that for Kansas. You know, I get that you win the Big 12, you get to host a regional. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But then he started talking about West Virginia. You know, they got to their conference tournament championship game. Well, so did Arkansas. Yeah. You know, and you look at a lot of these teams that got regional bids, I just don't think their metrics stack up with the Razorbacks. I really don't think they do. You know, and I don't think they played schedules in a lot of instances that were quite like Arkansas's. 18-13 in quad one games. That's the thing that stood out to me about Arkansas. And I said for the longest time, the quad one wins, that's going to be like what they hang their hat on. If they get a regional, it's going to be because the selection committee really values the number of quad one wins they had, but also the quad one number of games they played. I mean, let's put this in perspective, Bubba. Arkansas played 31 quad one games. Kansas played 17. West Virginia played 13. You know, Oregon played 22. They were there. Even Mississippi State played 23 quad one games. When you start talking, and he talked about in response to a different question, not for me, but he talked about, we looked at your strength of schedule and your strength of schedule within the conference. Explain to me how Mississippi State has a harder strength of schedule within the conference, but they played eight fewer quad one games than Arkansas. Now, part of that's Arkansas played longer in Hoover. I get that. They played two more games than Mississippi State in Hoover. Although Mississippi State played Missouri in Hoover, that was not a quad one game.
Right.
I don't know. I think here's where I land on this. I'm not surprised they didn't get to host. I thought they had done enough to get to host. But you go back to the RPI, that's what I've been saying for the longest time. I just don't know that there's a path after a certain point to get their RPI into that range that the selection committee typically has said you get to host with. This year, same as last year, nobody outside of the top 19 in the RPI got to host. So they finish at 21 in the RPI. And then there's a little bit of this too. Let's just be honest with ourselves. The 16 host spots are not the 16 best teams.
No.
If it was the 16 best teams, you'd have half or more of the SEC hosting. But it's about appeasing the Big Ten. It's about appeasing the Big 12. It's about appeasing a mid-major or two. That's what it's really about. And so, like it's you come up with 16 teams and you try to defend them based on metrics. But it's not the 16 best teams that ever get to host. Because if it was, I think you'd see a lot more host advance than what happens every year. There's always a two or a three seed, and more so two seeds, that come in and they'll get hot. And it's kind of clear at the beginning, hey, that team should have been hosted in the first place. Kind of like what happened with Arkansas in 2022.
Well, Matt, my thing is sell me on why – this team is above us, or this other team's above us.
And I don't Mississippi think, State is the really hard sell.
It's so hard.
Because you look at Mississippi State, if you're going by RPI, then sure. But RPI, I think, has been exposed for being an outdated, antiquated metric. Mississippi State's 13, Arkansas's 21. DSR and KPI, they're right there together. But what stands out to me really are three things. Again, quad one number of games. Arkansas's got 8 more than Mississippi State. SEC wins. If you're just going by the regular season, Arkansas has 1 more. If you're going aggregate and counting Hoover, they have 3 more. And then, oh, by the way, there's the head-to-head. They look like they're almost exactly. identical on paper.
Yeah.
But Arkansas won the head-to-head in Fayetteville, and that has to me, that needs to mean something.
Yeah, it's got to. And, you know, you talk about the strength of schedule. Well, we played a lot more quad one. I mean, to your point, we played a lot more quad one teams. I mean, doesn't that say that our strength of schedule should be pretty
good? Arkansas's got the number 10 strength of schedule in the country.
Yeah.
It's not like they played a bad schedule.
But don't they have Mississippi State at 7?
7.
Yeah.
Yep.
To me, that doesn't compute those two numbers.
I think what it boils down to is Arkansas played Missouri and South Carolina, and Mississippi State played LSU and Vanderbilt. And so the worst SEC – Arkansas played the 2 worst SEC teams this year. On the road, I will say they were on the road, so I think that makes it a little bit more difficult. But Mississippi State played LSU and Vanderbilt, who neither made the tournament – but they were better teams than Missouri and South Carolina. I think that's really what sets those two schedules apart.
Well, if that's what they're hanging their hat on, then that's a bad argument because yep. Vandy and LSU weren't very good this year.
Nope.
I mean, they really weren't. I don't know where they are RPI-wise. I don't know how many quad one wins they had. I don't care. I mean, they're not a very good team, neither one of them. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just it's frustrating. But I'll tell you, once again, I'm so proud to have DVH as our head coach. I thought he did a great job in the press conference. And you guys pressed him a little bit, as you should. And he said all the right things, where I guarantee you there was stuff that he was wanting to say.
Nonverbal body language gave it away, what he really wanted to say.
I mean, turn it around.
At least there was more that he wanted to say.
Turn it around, and what if Tony Vitale is sitting in that seat, you guys ask him the same thing. I don't think you're going to get the same professional answer that you got from Dave. And, he's classy, and he's got character. And, it would have been real easy for him to go the other direction and really say what was on everyone's mind, and I'm sure it's on his. But, because we were really – told by everyone in Hoover that we were in. I mean, Phil and I were talking
in confident.
Going into the Georgia game, and then even at the end of the Georgia game, we're saying, hey, we're going back to Fayetteville. We did mm-hmm. everything we needed to do here to earn a host. We're going back there. And I prefaced it with 90-95% sure mm-hmm. that we're going to be hosting, because you never know what happens. So I left that little small percentage. But, man, everyone I talked to upstairs – was like, yeah, you guys are in.
Yeah.
And
that's what it felt like.
Even before the Auburn game. And I like what Dave said about throwing his closer for 4 innings. I mean, if we didn't think we were going to be in, he wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his pitch count was low. So, I mean, we didn't overtax him. Maybe we're getting him ready for longer innings somewhere down the road. Who knows? But, yeah, I just think the whole thing, there has to be – I said it last week. I mean, it's 2026. There has to be a better system in place. Basketball moved to a better system.
Yep.
I mean, why can't baseball do it? Why are we still stuck on RPI when – think about – I still go back to Georgia. Going into the SEC tournament, they're 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think they ended up at
– 7.
Yeah. Which, how did they get so much lower when we beat better teams than they did? Yeah. Why didn't we get that much lower?
I don't know.
How did they go from 14 to 7 and we go from 20, what were we, 27?
25 to 21 is where Arkansas jumped from.
Okay, yeah. Well, shouldn't we have gone more? I mean, we beat some pretty good teams.
Yeah.
You beat Texas, you beat
Texas
Tennessee.
Texas gave them the biggest bump. I think Tennessee, they jumped up by a spot.
What about Auburn?
Yeah, that was weird that Auburn didn't move them. I don't know if that's because they've already beaten Auburn this year. I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing, Matt. That's why I need to know. I'm just a whine person.
Give me
an answer that I like or that I can understand and accept, and I'll move on. And I haven't heard that answer yet.
I understand the RPI to a certain point. I don't understand it in other ways. I will say one thing about Georgia. They played a ton of home games this year. And so I suspect that maybe it was all of those neutral site games was really giving them a lot of extra juice, so to speak. just because they hadn't played maybe neutral site games like some other teams have. I don't know.
So they get rewarded for playing a lot of home games?
Well, they were getting. Well, actually, you could say that they were lower in the RPI because they played a lot of home games. So I think, but at the end, I think they might have, and I don't know, but I think they might have gotten a little bit extra reward for playing neutral site games. I really don't know.
We played neutral site games too, though.
We played
more than they did down there.
Yeah. RPI, like I said, I understand it to a certain point. I guess I come away from what happened in the last couple of days with some takeaways. Number one is that RPI is all reliable to the selection committee. They have an RPI addiction, and they can't kick the habit. Even when they have all these other metrics that they can pull from, like they still are a slave to the RPI. That is the biggest takeaway. Also, a takeaway is that the teams that had a lot of these RPI related cancellations, they weren't dinged for it. You know, they put out this statement a week or two ago that says don't do that.
Right.
But then there's no consequences for it, and you've got teams. You know, like I think West Virginia had a number of these cancellations. I think Oregon had one of these at least, where, you know, like they're clearly trying to game the RPI system and, you know, they're rewarded with it. I mean, what happens to West Virginia if they play one of those games? Maybe they're not hosting.
Yeah.
But, you know, by canceling those games, they're able to keep their RPI at 17 within that range. So that's a big takeaway, is that there were no real consequences for teams that gamed the RPI. Another big takeaway is that quad one wins, I don't think they matter as much as we thought they did. Because if they mattered, Arkansas would be hosting.
Right.
They got the second most quad one wins in the country. Only Georgia Tech, who's had a really strong case to be the number one overall seed, I thought. Only they have more. They've got 22 quad one wins. Arkansas's got 18. That's a big takeaway. And I'll tell you another big takeaway. Going back to Michael Alford and talking to him yesterday, he started mentioning these things called RAC rankings, Regional Advisory Committee rankings, that happen throughout the season. And he basically indicated that if you weren't in those RAC rankings all year, you were going to have a really hard time hosting a regional. And to me, that's wrong. Yeah. You know, and I asked him that. I said, is that not disadvantageous to a team like Arkansas that has a really strong end? I mean, Arkansas went 13-5 down the stretch. They were 12-4 during that time against teams that made the NCAA tournament. The only series they played I guess it would have been 11-4. The only series they played, though, during that time against the team that didn't make the NCAA tournament was Missouri. Everybody else made the tournament. Missouri State in the midweek, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Kentucky, all the teams they played in Hoover. Everybody made the NCAA tournament. But it was almost as if, because Arkansas was not in the RAC rankings, say, at the end of April, they didn't have a chance to host a regional. Or they didn't have as strong a chance to host a regional. And I asked him that about the RAC rankings, and he said, quote, he said, it's a whole body of work. Like I said in an opening statement, we look from day one to the tournaments you play and how you do, and we talk about how teams improve. He said, no doubt Arkansas's run, we were watching at the SEC tournament, it was taken into consideration, but we compared them to some other teams. It ended up just shaking out the way it did. Like, I hate that. It just ended up shaking out the way it did. Can I say something real quick? I want to hear what you have to say. These tournaments, they need way better people going out and defending their – or these selection committees need better people. People who can actually communicate with the public. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a college football playoff or the men's basketball tournament or the baseball tournament. They got people who cannot communicate and defend their position whenever they're pressed on it. And that drives me crazy. They need to go hire a criminal defense attorney who can at least go out and offer a defense to what they're doing and make it believable and actually be able to give kind of a full-throated defense of this. Because it's these ADs who they parade out to, you know, defend the rankings, they never come off well.
Are you just saying defend better or lie better?
Yes.
So, okay. I mean, you said a lot there, but they said the whole body of work, you know, and how teams improved. We're the definition of a team that improved. We started out 5-7 in SEC. We ended up beating 20 SEC teams. Did we not improve?
I think so.
I mean, we go and we sweep Alabama.
Look at Arkansas when they played Auburn the first time. And then look at them when they play Auburn again in Hoover. Yeah. Tell me that's the same team.
Exactly. So, I mean, the guy's talking out of both sides of his mouth. I don't like the fact that he played at Mississippi State.
He has a master's degree from Arkansas.
Who cares?
Maybe they'll take it away after this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, let's revoke that thing. But there's got to be, I don't know. And I got a question, though, and I was curious about this. I thought about it on the drive back home. Do you think – okay, so I don't think these guys keep up. Like, how many Razorback games do they watch throughout the year?
There's no way you can watch that many
college baseball
games.
I think they took
the
easy way out, and they looked at RPI and said, okay, you're not in. I think that's what happened. I think they don't care about quad one wins. Half of them may not even understand what a quad one win is. I don't know. I don't know who's on the committee. I was going to Google it and see who all's on the committee, and it didn't – I didn't want to waste more time of my life. Yeah. So I just let it go. But I think they're sitting there watching it, and they've got – the SEC network on, and they're watching us play Georgia. We got run ruled. And I think they looked at that and they said, no, they're not in. Now, maybe I'm totally wrong.
But if you're a baseball person, you understand why Arkansas got run ruled in the first place.
But are they baseball people?
I don't know. And that's why, you know, actually, I led the story off with Michael Alford played at Mississippi State and got a master's degree at Arkansas. And the reason I even found that in the first place, because I wanted to know, like what is his qualification for defending baseball stuff? And so he played college baseball. I'll give him that. I mean, he played college baseball, so I will assume that he understands the game. And keep in mind that when you're the chairman of these committees, your job is to defend the position of the committee. It's not necessarily the way you voted. Not necessarily the way that – but you have to go out there and you have to put on a front – even if you disagree with it internally, this is what the committee chose, and now it's now my responsibility to communicate with the public about what the committee chose and why. I don't know how many baseball people they have on the committee, but if you're a baseball person, you understand what happened against Arkansas against Georgia.
Yeah.
Or with Arkansas against Georgia.
It's common
sense.
They lose.
First off, Arkansas's played one more game in Hoover than Georgia has. Second off, Hunter Dietz about has his shin split in half by a 105-mile-an-hour line drive, and he can only pitch 21 innings. Anybody who knows Arkansas this year knows that they have to have Hunter Dietz go deep into games to be able to help them on the weekends. That if he goes fourth innings, they're probably not going to have a very good weekend. And so I think we all knew when he left that Texas game the way he did, and then especially whenever they went all in and brought Gabe Gackel in through six innings, they weren't winning that tournament. Or if they won the tournament, it was going to be because they beat somebody like 18-17.
Yeah,
that was how they were going to have to win that tournament. So there's common sense that has to be involved here. Like, you know, whenever I ask questions after the championship game in Hoover, I didn't ask, "Hey, why did you lose 11-1 today?" I knew why they lost 11-1. But, you know, you were talking earlier about, and I think it was before we came on the podcast, about we were talking about these teams that are in the regional, and you said eye test. You know, you can look at all these stats, but you want to be able to evaluate Kansas with your eye and Missouri State with your eye, which you can do because we've seen them a couple of times, Northeastern. I think about coaches, and they have all these analytics. But the best coaches are the ones who can take those analytics and digest them and still coach with their gut. With that knowledge, but still kind of understand like the feel of the game, and I don't feel like the selection committee has that gut feel of the game. It's just let's look at a bunch of data, and kind of arrange it a certain way, and we're good.
Yeah, how many of the guys on the committee knew that Hunter Dietz got hit and pitched 2/3 of an inning?
Well, I would hope every single one of them.
Well, they knew he got hit, but did they understand that he threw 2/3 of an inning, and we still did what we did? I mean, we still were able to win and get to the championship game when our number one guy goes 2/3 of an inning. I mean, to me, that's incredible. That says a whole lot about the depth of our staff and guys stepping up and you know, at the plate, but more importantly on the mound. We have some guys have some great outings down there. I don't know. I feel like they took the easy way out. And yes. Dave might have even said, it seems like he said easy. Yep. And I'm sure there are a lot of other words he would like to have described it. And, you know, I don't have to be politically correct, but I'm not going to get into it here.
He said a national media member. He said used a, what he said kind of a negative word or a.
He said he described it in one word, I think.
Yeah, one word. He said, I won't use that word. He said easy is the word I'll use.
Can I use it?
Sure.
Can I say it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe spell it.
Starts with horse.
Okay. Well, all right. I was thinking lazy.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, if it's one word, it's two words, but I guess when you combine it, it turns into one word, but it starts with horse. That's the way I would describe it.
Horse poo.
Yeah. I don't like it. And I really think that they just didn't do their due diligence and you know, they go with RPI and they said this year, we're going to use DSR, KPI. We're going to look at all this. And he comes up with this rack thing.
I had never heard of rack rankings.
I had no idea when you wrote it.
I have a feeling there are going to be a lot of coaches who are now like, whoa, now that's another piece of data that we have to keep in our mind as we go, you know, throughout the season. And again, that's for hosting. Like most coaches are just worried about getting into the field.
Right.
There's only a handful, you know, especially like in mid-April, who are thinking about hosting probably. But, yeah, the rack rankings, I'd never heard of that until yesterday.
Good, because when I read your article and I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
And I was just going to ask you. But I never heard of it. So if they put that much emphasis on the start of the season and where you're ranked in the beginning on the rack rankings, I mean, it to me, it's about not how you start, it's how you finish. Yeah. It's your trajectory throughout the season.
It hurts a team that has, the way Arkansas did, a front-loaded schedule. Like, we sat here six, 7 weeks ago and said, look, there is a path for Arkansas to finish the season strong. They just got to weather this storm of Auburn and Florida and Georgia and all these teams that they played at the front end of the schedule. And then it was like, you know, then there's Missouri, and then there's Oklahoma and Ole Miss at home and Kentucky. It looks like they could win some games, and that's exactly what ended up happening.
Right.
It's really weird. Baseball is a totally unpredictable sport, but I feel like we pegged exactly what was going to happen with Arkansas about a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Even down to the RPI and not being able to get into the regional because they're just going to run out of time, being able to get the RPI up high enough. It hurts a team, though, that has a front-loaded schedule. I mean, it's I don't think there's any other way to describe it other than, you know, you got to be really smoking hot at the end if you don't have a good start to be able to get a regional. Or at least that's how it feels to me.
We were smoking hot. I mean,
yeah. Well, but more smoking hot. You know, like they were, they were a 9 and they needed to be a 10. You know?
Well, okay, so I'm going to go a different direction now. Once again, I'm going to go back to Dave. I think someone asked him, you know, are you guys, because all the way home, I'm, you know, I had a few phone calls, talked to a couple people, mainly my wife. We were talking about it. I said, you know what? This is going to make our guys mad. These guys are going to be pissed off about this.
Were you mad?
I was mad.
Did it make you drive faster?
Yeah, I got home quick. It's
the
quickest I've ever gotten
home. We were kind of in the same boat. I was about an hour behind Bubba. We made some poor life decisions on the way back from Hoover. Bubba got back about, what, 3, 3.30?
Yeah.
I think it was about 4.15 when I rolled into town.
Yeah, it's the fastest trip I've ever made from Hoover to home. But, yeah. But, you know, I just was kind of like, okay, if I'm a player, I try to view it, you know, I played a long time ago. But I still, a baseball player is a baseball player. I try to view it from the player side of it, and I'm going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be like, you know what? We, I don't know if disrespected is the right term. I mean, you're not disrespected.
Dave said they're not going to use that card.
I know, but that's what I was getting at. Dave answered the question awesome because he's like, no, we're not going to play that card. And I think that's the absolutely correct answer. But I think within that clubhouse, if I'm in that clubhouse, I'm like, guys, let's go there and just beat the snot out of everybody down there. And I mean, that's the feeling that I would have. Now, am I going to get in front of a mic and say it if I'm a player? No, you don't do that. And these guys know not to do that. But I bet you inside that clubhouse, there's a little bit of anger.
Mm-hmm.
These guys played their butt off to do everything they could to host thought we were hosting, and then they get it taken away from them. So there's going to be some mad guy. There's going to be some anger in that dugout. Now, I hope we go out there and we take it out on Missouri State Friday, and then whoever we play on Saturday and so forth. But, yeah. But I thought Dave was awesome. He's said exactly. He what's that?
Diplomatic.
Yeah, he said the right things, and yeah. But I don't know if I would.
Different things could be said behind closed doors.
My wife actually asked me, "How would you have handled that?" And I said, "Here's the way I when I coach, I'm pretty even keeled. Mm-hmm. The only time I get really mad if someone disrespects my team and my players." I get fired up, whether it's an umpire, a coach, even some loudmouth person in the stands. I don't like it. And I'll say what I think needs to be said. Now, you know, once I'm done saying it, it's over. I got to get my point across, though. But, you know, it's different. You know, I thought Dave handled it perfect. And I think now all we can do is focus on Missouri State and go in there and play the best game we can play and then move on from there.
Try to turn Hoagland into Hogland.
There you go. I like it.
Reminder, our baseball podcast sponsored by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a local shop that's been family-owned for three generations. They built their reputation on taking care of customers the right way. That kind of longevity doesn't happen by accident at H&R Tire and Auto. Let's talk about this field. Kansas, 42-16. They got a 25-8. I used to never want to use the record of the conference tournament with – and combine it with the regular season record when I'm talking about a team after the season ends. I've totally changed my ways after seeing the way Arkansas played in Hoover.
Yeah.
Because I do think that there is value in winning, you know, in winning games against conference teams. So I'm using the aggregate records here.
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
Are you going to feel that way next year? Because Dave even said, well, maybe we ought to reevaluate, or I don't know, I don't want to quote him, but to something to the fact that we need to reevaluate the way we approach that tournament.
It depends on if I'm wearing my Hoover hat or not.
Yeah.
If I'm not.
Because why not just go down there and pitch a couple freshmen, play some younger dudes, let them get some experience.
Or do like what Texas did and kind of audition yourself for, hey, if this happens in a regional, this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what they did.
Yeah.
Texas looked so disinterested in that game. Hmm. Schlossnagel on the side looked like he was – thinking about a tee time he had on Saturday. He did not look like he was into that game. I didn't think his hitters, they took some terrible at-bats. Now, credit our pitching staff for that, but they were missing balls with 3 feet. It's like their approach was gone. They just weren't into it mentally, I don't think at all. And I think they were ready to come back home and get ready for a regional. Really do.
That's
I jokingly
2 years in a
said
row they haven't won down there.
Yeah, I jokingly said on the air that it looks like Schlossnagel has a tee time Saturday morning. He's trying to make sure he makes it.
Yeah. KU.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're good. I'm trying to stay on topic. You take me off all your faraway places sometimes.
Sorry.
You're good.
Doing the best I can.
You're good. KU. They're 42-16. They've got a 25-8 aggregate Big 12 record. They did win the Big 12 tournament. They kicked butt out in surprise. I mean, Oklahoma State's one of the hottest teams in the country, and KU beat them 9-2. And then they beat West Virginia, who's another one of the hottest teams in the country. They beat them 9-0 to win the title. They're a team that's got a ton of junior college players, Like, I mean, if you follow JUCO sports, you know that Kansas has a lot of junior colleges there. And they've taken advantage of that JUCO circuit in Kansas and some of the other nearby states. So they're an older team, Bubba. I've got some stats on them right here. Here we go. So this is just basically their profile. 19th in RPI, 9th in DSR, 17th in KPI. They've got the number 60 strength of schedule. Mentioned earlier they were 11-6 in quad one games. And then these are the stats that I think matter. Scoring, they're 47th in the country, 7.7 runs per game. ERA, they're 97th in the country at a little over 5.3. Fielding, they're 102nd in the country at 974. And then they've got a plus two run per game run differential. That ranks 49th in the country. But they've got the JUCO players. They remind me a little bit of Missouri State in that they're an older team. And those teams can be very difficult with the bats, especially in the tournament.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, 102 home runs, 229 extra base hits. I mean, yeah. What are they? 289 as a team, batting average as a team. I mean, offensively, they look really good. They don't steal a lot of bases. They really don't strike out a ton. Yeah, I guess they strike out quite a bit. I was looking at the wrong number. But I think it's an interesting matchup, though, because they're more of a power team, you know, hit the ball over the fence, hit it in the gap. Northeastern's totally opposite. I mean, they've stolen over 200 bases.
They're a small ball team.
Yeah.
Kind of like they remind me a little bit of K-State.
Yes.
When we saw them in the regional a few years ago.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be – I think that's kind of a fun matchup right there. They've got a few pitchers that get ground balls, so we'll see if that neutralizes Kansas' bats, keeping the ball in the ground versus getting it up in the air in the gaps and over the fence. So I think that's going to be – I think that might be a fun matchup. That's a game that – you know, anything can happen. You get a team like that and you get them on base, they start pestering the pitchers a little bit, you know, stealing bases, bunting, hitting, running, you know, doing all those little things that those teams do. It can be frustrating for a team that's not used to that. And there's not a lot of that. Well, I say there's not. There's a few teams that play that way in the Big 12, but still, I think it could be frustrating for Kansas.
They're 18-5 at home. I looked up their home record. I think they went 4-3 against NCAA tournament teams at home. They got smacked by West Virginia about 3 weeks ago. That was one of those deals where West Virginia, if they were one game closer to KU in the standings, they get the number one seed in the Big 12 tournament. But they were too far back at that point, and KU ended up winning the regular season. They beat UCF, swept UCF at home, and then they beat Nebraska in a midweek. So 18-5 at home. Go back to Arkansas playing on the road. They've been a really good road team. Like, they've been really good away from bomb this year. I think some of that has to do with the teams they're playing. I mean, they got to play Missouri away, and they play South Carolina away. I mean, let's think about if you flip this, and Missouri and South Carolina are in Fayetteville, and Georgia and Florida are on the road. Well, the road record probably doesn't look as good, and the home record looks a lot better. So some of it's about the teams you play. Kentucky, they got to play them on the road. Not a bad team, but not a great team either. They went 3-1 in Arlington, went 3-1 in Hoover.
Don't forget about Alabama.
Don't forget Alabama. They swept Alabama. That was a big win for them. But, you know, the 18-5 home record, it's a good home record, but they played seven games against NCAA tournament teams. I don't know how challenged they've been on that field. And, again, West Virginia, who I think is the best team that came in there, you know, they beat them up pretty good, especially in game three, but they beat them all three games.
I mean, that's the thing. You think of the last time they played at home, they got swept by West Virginia. They haven't played at home since.
Is that their last that's right. That's right, because they went to BYU to end the year.
So, I mean, that's, you know, something else to look at. I mean, not that's that big a deal, you know.
Turf field, Arkansas has got some experience playing on turf this year, especially of late. I mean, Missouri and Kentucky.
Yeah. So, I think I don't know. I just you know, the odds makers have Kansas winning it. I don't know.
I have the odds makers are going to have every regional host winning it. I mean, like, if you get to play at home, you're going to be favored to win your home regional. I feel like this is one of the two best setups for maybe three best setups for a number two to go in and win. I like Oklahoma State at Alabama. I think they could that ballpark. I just feel like Oklahoma State could have some success against that field. I'll tell you another one is Oregon State going to Oregon. You know, I think Oregon State felt like they might they got the shaft a little bit. Now they're playing an independent schedule, and so it's hard for them to get the metrics up like quad one wins and things like that. But they're an awfully good team. They're playing nearby at Oregon. And then, like, if you were just going to take the field somewhere, Nebraska has to have Ole Miss and Arizona State come in.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be really tough for them to win their home regional too. But, hey, I mean, it's not just Arkansas. Missouri State is very capable, I think, of going in and winning this regional this weekend. Missouri State doesn't have the pitching that some of these teams have. But, man, that lineup they have is awfully, awfully good. We've seen it a couple of times.
Well, I think our pitching can neutralize that. It's different than when we played them on a Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I don't know if we'll pitch Gackle or Dietz. I think part of it would come down to the splits, you know.
Yeah. Dave also mentioned Dietz's health and whether or not they wanted to give him an extra day of rest for that shin injury.
Yeah, that could be something. But I think a lot of it might come down to, you know, how they hit against lefties versus righties. Mm-hmm. I know they got some power in their lineup, both sides of the plate. So we'll see. We'll see how they do that. But I feel like our pitching can neutralize that hitting. And then I feel like offensively, I think we're going to score. I think we're going to score against them.
This feels like it could be a high scoring region.
I think I think you look at a plan, like you give Nate Thompson and Bobby Wernis a week to put together a plan. I think we're going to go in there with a good plan offensively. It's up for the guys to stick with the plan and the approach, but mm-hmm. I feel really good about us going in. And we've seen a lot of their guys. Now, we haven't seen their weekend guys, I guess.
But, and that's the big – and I asked Dave about that yesterday. I said, you know, like this has been – these have been midweek games. How much does weekend pitching potentially change your evaluation of a lineup? And he said he doesn't think it changes it a whole lot. But, you know, I mean, again, we know – and when Arkansas played Missouri State up there in Springfield – remember, that's when they had the short turnaround to a Thursday, mm-hmm. and they were scared. I shouldn't say scared. There were a lot of pitchers they didn't want to use that night because they wanted to have them available for Thursday at Auburn. And I think that had a potentially had an effect on that game.
Well, I mean, look at the guys we threw that game. We started Steel Eaves, went to DeKramer. DeKramer was – that wasn't when – that – today's DeKramer's way better.
That's when DeKramer was injured. He was dealing with a calf injury.
Yeah. Then we went to Kircher, Mark Brissy, Parker Coral, Cooper Dossett, Peyton Lee. So, I mean, you look at all those guys, you know, I mean, Dossett's thrown some good innings lately. Coyle's been good. DeKramer and Eaves have been good. I don't want to say anything bad about, you know, Kircher, Brissy, and Peyton Lee, but they haven't pitched a whole lot for us lately. Mm-hmm. And when they haven't been real effective. So they, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Now, they threw a whole bunch of dudes at us. They threw, eight pitchers at us. You know, that's the 14-15 game at their place.
Yeah.
But once again, we are such a different team right now than we were then.
They've got those two-way guys, Curry Sutherland, Max mm-hmm. Knight. They've got a couple of pretty good two-way players that they can throw at you.
You know, and you got to remember, they brought in Curry Sutherland. He threw three innings, closed out that game.
In Springfield, he was really good.
He was good.
Very good. So I think he pitched again in Fayetteville, and it didn't go quite as well for him.
Yeah, that was the difference in that game, I thought, is him coming in throwing those last three innings. He came in and threw didn't get an out.
He was part of the eighth inning
pitching
for them, where Arkansas scored eight in the eighth against Missouri State. Here's Missouri State's metrics, by the way. 23rd in RPI, 48th in DSR, 36th in KPI. That is all over the board, mm-hmm. and that's because those different metrics, they value midweek wins differently in midweek games. And honestly, I like the DSR because of what it thinks about midweek games. I love the fact that there is a metric out there, a rating system, that takes into consideration how different it is for a team to play on a midweek than it is for a weekend. I love that. And college baseball moving forward, they got to have metrics that take that into consideration. The RPI does not. The DSR does. Missouri State 44th in strength of schedule. They're 6-11 against quad one teams. A couple of those wins were midweeks over Arkansas and Oklahoma State. They're 22nd in scoring at 8.3 runs a game, 154th in ERA at 6 a game, and they're fielding 47th in the country, 977 per game. They got a 1.8 run per game run differential. So basically they beat teams on average by 1.8 runs per game. We know how good they are. Northeastern, look through their metrics here real quick. RPI 88th, DSR 77th, KPI 124th. Again, real all over the board. Strength of schedule 190th. They play in the Colonial Athletic Association. They're 0-2 in quad one games, 69th in scoring at 7.5 runs a game, 65th in ERA at 4.95, fielding 104th at 974. Their run differential is 2, so it's 47th in the country. They're coached by Mike Glavin, who's Tom Glavin's brother. And they're like this is a team that's had this is not just some Johnny come lately. Like they've got some baseball history tradition there, especially within their conference. Back a year or two ago, they were the team nobody wanted. They were maybe they even got it to be a 3 seed. But it was throughout the year, nobody wants Northeastern coming because they were pitching right. so well.
Yeah.
They're going back to what we were saying earlier. They've got kind of that small ball type feel where they're going to play good defense, they're going to pitch well, and they're going to manufacture runs.
Yeah, and that could be dangerous, especially if you're
especially playing on turf.
Yeah, on turf. Yes, yep. That's what I was going to say. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a fun regional. I'm looking forward to Friday. To be honest with you, I'm kind of curious to see who we're going to pitch. You know, that's and a good how question. And that's why Dave makes the big bucks right there is deciding who's going to pitch game one. I think that's crucial.
Have you seen the forecast for Friday?
Not up there. No.
There's some rain in the forecast. I don't know if this is going to be something widespread or not. I've got a little bit of rain fatigue from what happened down in Hoover for 3 days or 4 days. How long we were there? It says there's a 50% chance during the day, at night a 20% to 30% chance on Friday night. But all it takes is one rain delay, and it's going to throw off that 5 o'clock first pitch that Arkansas and Missouri State are scheduled to have as of right now. KU is going to play the early game there. Looks like Dan Fitzgerald maybe taking some page out of Dave Van Horn's book.
Yeah.
You know, the Razorbacks, if they play in Fayetteville, they like to play the early game. They'll play the late game on Friday night. Hey, I did look this up too, Bubba. Dimensions at Hoagland Ballpark, 330 down the lines, 370 to the gaps, and 400 to center field. So it feels very much like Baum Stadium in that way. I was looking at the forecast for Friday. Looks like you're going to have pretty light east winds. And so that's going to be blowing in, and I'm literally looking at Google Maps right now as I'm telling you this, and like trying to, is the east coming from this way? It looks like it'll be blowing in from left field. So that's how the ballpark, as of right now, looks like it's going to play this weekend.
Blowing in from left?
Blowing in from left, which would make you think that maybe from like, center to right, the ball could carry a little bit more.
That helps a small ball team, you know. Like Northeastern, it helps a team like that. I think the good thing about the Razorbacks, we can beat you multiple ways. We can hit home runs, we get balls in the gaps, we can walk, we can also steal bases. Now, we didn't steal 210 or whatever Northeastern stole. Was it 210? Is a lot.
Yeah. 210, that sounds like a lot, but maybe they did. I'm looking this up. Keep going, I'll tell you in just a second.
But I think we can beat you in multiple ways. If we have to play small ball, we can. But if we need to bang, we can bang.
210 out of 253.
I thought that was
that's a big number.
That's a huge number.
Like we thought that OU with 102 was a big number. This is double that.
But think about so look at their own base percentage. I was looking at their own base percentage earlier.
435 or is it 399?
399. So think how many runners they had on base. That's a lot of runners on base to attempt that many steals. So they're finding a way to get on base.
Yeah.
Walk, hit by pitch, base hit, whatever. They're finding a way to get on base because that's a lot of runners at first. Can't steal first if you don't get there. So they're getting on base somehow.
210 stolen bases.
Yeah.
That is a big-time number. And then success, 210 out of 253. I don't care who you're playing against. Now, there are going to be better catchers in this regional, I'm sure, than they've seen in the CAA, and obviously, better times to the plate, too, by the pitchers. But those are big numbers. I did not realize that. I knew that they were a high steal volume team. I didn't realize it was quite like that. I'm looking here. They've got two players on this team who have more than 40 stolen bases this year. Harrison Feinberg's got 42 and 48 attempts. And then, I'm going to mess up this name, Carmelo Masakia, I guess, 44 out of 54. I need a pronunciation guide.
You did good.
Yeah. You don't know that.
No.
You don't know.
No, I looked at the names because I wanted to know who the fast
did you look
guys
at the pronunciation
were.
Guide?
No. Hell no. I didn't look at that. I won't even look at that. I'll leave that up to Phil. If I can't pronounce their last name, I say their first name or their number because I don't want mom listening at home getting on me because I pronounced their son's name wrong.
Hey, real quick before we get out of here, wasn't that a cool moment on Saturday when the softball team clinched their trip to Oklahoma City during the rain delay? And everybody I'm sure has seen the video of the baseball team watching downstairs. Bubba and Phil and I were out sitting at these picnic tables with just rain coming down all around us. Fortunately, we were covered. But we were watching on these TVs. That was just kind of it was a really neat deal watching them close that out.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And that just says a lot about, DVH, his respect for, Courtney Dyfel and their staff. And I don't know. I think it's cool. I think when you're a Razorback, you want everyone to win every sport. So,
but we were talking, too, about, the long rain delay. And both of the teams had been there for a long time because they got there during the Florida-Georgia game, which after they arrived went into its own rain delay for 45 minutes or so, maybe 50 something. Like, I feel like when you've got something to keep you focused and together during a rain delay, like that can have an effect when you come back out. Like what's going on in the other clubhouse? Auburn wasn't watching their softball team clinch a trip to Oklahoma City and girls that I'm sure they know and, you know, see on campus and talk with. I just felt like that had a I had a feeling during the rain delay Arkansas might come out and look totally different because they had that little moment of team, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
bonding, chemistry, camaraderie, whatever. And I thought they looked like a different team when they came back out. And I'm not going to say Auburn looked flat, but Arkansas just looked like they had a little bit of extra something. And I wonder how much that rain delay had or watching that and being able to experience that for about an hour during the rain delay might have helped.
Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with it. You know, think about it. They're not watching that. I don't know. I don't know DVH's rule on cell phones and all that, but if you're sitting there, you know, watching your cell phone,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's like scientific evidence how that's so bad for you mm-hmm. before you go out and you play a sport, especially a sport like baseball. It has to do with your eyes, your focus, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have a cell phone in your hand.
Nick Mangione said that they have a rule at Kentucky that they have to leave their cell phones on the bus. And I actually heard him talking about this in relation to they had like a 7.5 hour rain delay at Florida, or maybe 7.5 hour of cumulative rain delays when they were at Florida. And he said none of them were on their phone. And so it forced a lot of face-to-face interaction.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really smart.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think of the old days. You know, you sit around the clubhouse and during a rain delay, you talk about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you talk about. That's how you learn about the game, is talking about it. It keeps your mind engaged. And, you know, if you're on your cell phone, you're not thinking about baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you're watching highlights. I don't know. But still, it's I'll say there was a game. This totally, I don't want to bore you with this story, but came in the dugout a few weeks ago. We had just beat a team really bad. We're playing another team that we're better than on paper. We should have beat them. And, I'm outside talking to a few of the tournament officials. I come in the dugout, and we're getting ready to play. And I look, and almost my whole team's on their phone. I'm like, hey, put those things up.
Mm.
And we went out and just absolutely laid an egg. It's like we weren't focused on the game. Our approach at the plate was gone. And so I started doing a little bit of light research
mm-hmm.
about the effects of that. And it's like a legit thing.
It
has to do with your eyes and how they focus on things. And it's hard to go from this focus here out to a focus on the field of the mm-hmm. ball coming at you. It affects you, I think, more as a hitter than anything. But still, just the way our bodies work, mm-hmm. the way our eyes send signals to our body. Because as a hitter, you got to trust your eyes. If your eyes aren't doing the right thing, then you're going to struggle. So
I would think there's some mind, like how it affects your mind too.
You'll
be focusing on what you're about to go be doing, not what you're looking at on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. Yeah.
Buddy Bell had a rule with the Rockies: no cell phones on in the clubhouse.
Yeah,
when you turned it off, you kept
a bad
it off.
Rule, I would think.
He was having a team meeting one day, and a cell phone went off, and he absolutely lost it through a chair. Just went nuts, and come to find out, it was one of our players. His wife is in the hospital, about to have a baby, and so his phone was on.
Uh-huh.
But by the time we found that out, I mean, it was he destroyed the clubhouse. But it was So I always kept my phone off, so I don't want to get the wrath of Buddy Bell. But it's kind of a funny thing. So, but hey, you know, back on this, I feel good. I feel good about our guys. I've liked this team all year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hobbs has done a great job with the pitching staff. I think DJ's done a good job with the scouting side of it. I think offensively, I think you look at Nate and Bobby, what they've done with the guys offensive. We've come a long way from the start of the season to where we are now.
A lot of growth.
Now, we're still having some bad at-bats, but some of that, you tip your hat to the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little frustrated with all the strikeouts over the weekends. If you've heard me talk, mm-hmm. I hate strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can say part of that, we got out of our approach. Part of it was just we were facing elite pitching. And so
Dylan Volantis will do that to anybody, won't he?
Yeah.
Holy cow, that guy was good.
Yeah, he was good. He was really good. So, but, you know, I think we're trending in the right direction, and I think we're going to go into Lawrence and make a statement.
I don't think the pitching they're going to see in Lawrence is going to be as good as what they saw in Hoover.
No,
personally,
not even close.
So, I mean, I think this is a very winnable regional for Arkansas. But again, Missouri State, KU, older teams, veteran teams, and you can throw Northeastern in that mix too. Like, it's not going to be a cakewalk. Like if Arkansas goes in and wins this, it's they're going to have to really earn it.
Yeah.
Over some teams that are really experienced. Want to get more time? Our baseball podcast brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're proudly family-owned since 1976. They're trusted across northwest Arkansas, committed to keeping you safe on the road all season long. You can learn more or schedule service at hnrtireandauto.com. Appreciate you being here with us. We'll have another podcast in here tomorrow. Then Bubba and I are going to hit the road to Lawrence. Hope you read our website, wholehogsports.com. We'll have all of our baseball coverage there. Have a great day, everybody.